If you're lucky.
Well, I got you already.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you get another one.
Yes,
all right. Thank you.
Can you tell her hello?
Okay.
Welcome, I'm Tom. Good to meet you. Good. Jerry?
That is special. Wow. Happy birthday, Susan. Sing happy birthday to Susan.
Happy birthday.
Ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Susan. Happy birthday to you.
Coffee rest stop is October 5th and 6th. Make cookies. And the sign-up sheet's downstairs for times.
I just wanted to say thank you for the prayers for Sophia. She's doing better. We're still waiting to get some doctor's appointments, but she's feeling better than she has in months.
Oh, good.
Right now. She's doing good.
Good. Good to hear. Okay.
Anxiety.
Oh yeah, anybody want to go see The Art of Racing in the Rain? We've got a group going at 1:25 today.
Is it the apartment? What is it?
It's a movie. Play in Olympia.
Oh, it's a movie. It's a movie right here in Chihills.
Yeah.
It's
a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie. Oh, no, I haven't.
It's a new movie.
What's the name of it?
The Art of Racing in the Rain. Great book, great play, and now I'm going to enjoy a great movie. And Kayaking Wednesday, for anybody who wants to go, is your kayaking. Anything else? Okay. Let's see. It's time for page two. Okay, please join me. What?
Paul Arby.
Now for the rest of the story?
No, he did page two.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. It's before my time, Tom.
No.
Never listened to him. Okay. Let's say our unity statement together in your program.
We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love.
Okay, let's stand for the Song of Joy, page 340, Joy in My Heart.
Down in my heart, down in my heart, I have the
Okay, the reading this morning will be Master John.
Okay, so I'm going to read again from this wonderful book by Don Knight called Return to Wholeness.
By
Our Don Knight.
Wow.
And when you look at the cover, it says it's by Huno. And I told people before, I didn't realize that in later life he changed his name and started calling himself Huno, which means what in Spanish. And he wrote this wonderful book, which came to me from the end, too soon. So I've never really bought into this YOLO thing, this you only live once thing. So I really like what this says. This is chapter 11, Birth to Death. A large part of humanity is ordered and governed by their many ideas of what they believe their lives to be, such as the belief that their physical life in the body is the only life that they have. Because the physical body appears to have a certain lifespan of so many years, the minds of these many become mesmerized, which prevents, for the most part, any possibility of their coming into an awareness of the existence of a higher life within the body. A large part of humanity believes in having future lives, or reincarnation. A much larger part of humanity believes that they have only one physical life to live. Whichever one believes, that narrow belief forms an illusion, which is difficult to penetrate with any knowledge of there being a higher life residing within the body. To believe that life in the physical body is all there is to be living in a grand illusion. Life in the physical body is just that, a movement of activity that has its operating power from the consciousness that inhabits it. If a person knows how to leave the physical body consciously, he takes the life force with him, and the body's operation slows way down to an almost imperceptible activity. If the person has gone too long, the body's operation will cease, and the body will no longer be able to be reactivated. So the life of the physical is dependent upon the residing consciousness within, and not by any dimension of the body's own capability. We wear our bodies, and we are learning to wear them well. Since most all of us have not developed the ability to leave our bodies consciously, we do not leave our bodies until it is either terminating unexpectedly or when it is worn out. Much of life's concerns are focused around the body's condition and keeping it in good working order to prolong its life, believing there is only this one life in the body. We all do this as we want to feel good in our bodies. The trap is that in thinking the body itself needs to be treated, we overlook treating the consciousness that lives in the body. Not always is this the case, but it is the general rule. We are the life that lives the body. It has already been mentioned that our body is our mind, and not the mind in the body, which is the big illusion. We are spirit and are endowed from on high with the ability to do any transforming of consciousness that we find necessary in order to enjoy a more perfect life. This includes taking into our hearts and minds all of the ideas of being perfect that we've been ordained to be. We do this by claiming our divinity, the greater life that we truly are. In so doing, the body in due time follows suit. The body's well-being follows the well-being we feel in a higher state of awareness. I'm going to say that again. The body's well-being follows the well-being we feel in a higher state of awareness. The body need not wear out. It has its own built-in assurances for a long, long-lasting life through its capability of cellular renewal, mitosis, although there also will be the need to overcome cellular hereditary conditions, which puts a certain fecundity on the body's cellular life. With the knowing that we are basically immortal beings, never actually having been born, we only entered the body when it was ready to be occupied, there likewise can be no such thing as death. At the time the body ceases to function, it is the time we exit the body. That's all there is to it. No loss of life. We, that spiritual life, still carry on living according to whatever thoughts are brought to mind. We are eternal beings and are not subject to death, for spirit can never die. Because we do not yet have inner sight to see into other realms does not mean that because we no longer see life in a loved one's body that anything has occurred other than they're now living a freer life without a body. Every unknowing one needs a rest from the heavy encumbrance of the physical body and from life's struggles. So there comes a time for a period of rest before once again entering a prepared body for another journey on this planet. The ceasing of the body's activity is nothing to fear. In truth, you have been through this experience more times than you have ever thought about. Life on Earth is simply the opening of a door to master this domain of so-called physical life. The so-called death is but the closing of that time of opportunity. Into the body we come, and out of the body we go. A perfectly natural cycle. In all things of this earthly life, ours is always to gain the highest perspective, as we are now doing. Thank you, Don Knight. Thank you, Deanne. Thank you, Cindy.
Does anybody know if Don's still in his body?
Thank you, Giant.
What's that? Is Don still in his body? Has anybody heard?
I don't know if he's still alive.
He's still alive.
All right, at least.
Well, yeah. He might have left his body, but yeah.
All right, let's see what's next. The meditation stone. Let's remain seated, and Sherry will lead us in. Number 93, beautiful garden prayer.
Battery.
The mic is here. The battery moved out of his body. Got it. Good.
No, that battery's dead.
What'd you say?
I said, no, that battery's dead.
No afterlife.
Okay. You can listen or sing with me.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
The song that was playing before we started, Count Your Blessings, that at any moment that we're experiencing by chance, scarcity, or fear, or doubt, if we could put ourselves on automatic pilot, to if any of those things leak into or out of our consciousness, we automatically start counting our blessings. Then in that moment, we transmute whatever doubt, whatever fear, whatever anxiety. But before I forget, I wanted to ask you to, and maybe I'll send it to you, but if you can't find it, let me know. #unlimited.
hashtag unlimited play for Sophia.
Oh.
It's a video on YouTube.
Oh, I'll write that down.
Done by teenagers.
Thank you. Thank you.
That reminds them of their divine essence. We played it last week, but she wasn't here. So, please.
Okay.
All right? And I think she'll just ask her to play it and memorize it. Play with it, have fun with it.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Now, one of the keys in this unlimited experience, in this divine essence experience, the inheritance of our divine nature, we've said is this gratitude. But another way of looking at that gratitude and being in that state is to think of ourselves as Don or Uno was reminding us of spirits having this physical and human experience, but is also to think of this life as the old ones say, that we think our dreams and our visions come from our sleeping life, and that everything else is our real life. But the old ones used to teach that this walking around life on earth is actually our sleeping life, and that we are awake. We are awake in our spiritual reality of who we are, in our dreams and our visions. That is what it means to be awake. And to be awakening here and now is to be in awareness of the consciousness of our spiritual existence and our spiritual reality, our highest potential as now. As now. So as the elder said, you think you're awake, but when you were having that vision was a moment of being awake. The kids have an expression these days. They call it being woke. Have you heard that? Anybody heard being woke? They say, oh, he's really cool. He's woke. Yeah. Meaning, he has awakened to who he is. He is aware of his persona, what he appears to be. He is aware of his shadow, of that which he normally would not own. He is aware of who you seem to be and is aware of what your shadow is. He or she is woke. Kids have a way of using language. It came out of the movement of looking at awareness about differences and diversity in community. And they started being applied to certain people who were aware of this phenomena as opposed to blind to it. And would say, oh, you know, he's woke, he's cool. You know, we can hang with him, he's woke. Meaning awake and conscious. Bringing more and more and more of what we are unconscious of into our conscious awareness. Digging deeper and deeper and deeper to do that. Listening. Listening with spirit ears is the second key to doing that. To taking more and more of what we're unconscious of, bringing it into the consciousness, and expressing it in our divine essence, and living wealthy, abundant lives. So for us to do that moment by moment, it has to be in our foundation, right? But let's listen. There's a song called Oyaheya. You know that song, anybody? Comes out of the agape movement, the unconditional love movement, with Michael Beckwith and others. But this one was written by Ricky Byers Beckwith. I want you can listen it listen to it, and you can also sing it, because I think the lyrics are going to show up. Right, Tom? And as you sing it, begin to feel it. Spirit is an active intelligence, moving through our bodies, through our cells, through our bones. We take the breath, we listen, inhale. And this time, inhale like 7 breaths. All the way up to 7. And with each breath, that's what inspires. We're experiencing this expansion, if we're conscious of it, of the infinite source and substance and supply within us, if we make ourselves conscious of it. If we become, as the kids say, woke, and not moving automatically in any other direction. There's a, put this word from the daily word in our context. I'm going to read several pieces, but before I do, we turn to each other and say, I live in the world of good.
I live in the world of good.
I am living abundantly.
I am living abundantly.
I do good works with my wealth.
My wealth.
I do good works with my wealth.
And our wealth is in all forms, right? Knowledge, wisdom, what we call money, time, tithe, talents. Our wealth is in all relationships. Connections. It's in so many forms that in some cases we're not even aware of, which makes that count your blessings. Sometimes someone else has to tell you. Someone, another mirror, has to point something out to you while you're whining. And I don't mean W-I-N, I mean W-H-I-N. So while I'm whining, well, as you know, people can whine with either, right? And some of us whine W-H-I-N-E more when we have the W-I-N-E kind. So this reflection that we have is important. So in Mark 41 through 49, that's what I'm going to read as soon as I get to it, out of my Bible, translated by George Alamza from Aramaic. Okay, and one of these verses, the 45th, is actually in our daily word for today. And you're familiar with this because it's been brought into this congregation before, even if you've never read the Bible yourself. 41, Mark chapter 6, 41. Why do you see the splinter in your brother's eye and do not see the beam in your own eye? You know this, right? You've heard this. You've been there, done that. Okay. 42. Or how can you say to your brother, oh brother or sister, let me take out the splinter from your eye when behold, you do not see the beam in your own eye. Oh hypocrites, this is Jesus talking, Yeshua ben Joseph, also known as Jesus the Christ. First take out the beam from your own eye and then you will see clearly to take out the splinter from your brother's eye. So first take out the beam from your own eye, implying that what's going on with me is bigger perhaps even than what's going on with you in terms of whatever block I may have or barrier. 43. There's no good tree that bears bad fruit, nor a bad tree that bears good fruit. 44. For every tree is known by its own fruit. They do not pick figs from thistles or gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, this is 45, and this is what's in David's word today. A good man brings out good things from the good treasure of his heart. And a bad man from the bad treasure of his heart brings out bad things. For from the abundance of the heart, the lips speak. For from the abundance of the heart, the lips speak. So if the abundance in my heart is here, instead of cup overflowing, then what I am saying is likely to reflect what? Limitation, scarcity, my fear or anxiety about what I'm lacking and missing and wishing for and afraid I'll never get or never be. From my pain, because my heart has not yet healed, because I'm operating from my wound, my woundedness, instead of from my wholeness, from my pain instead of from my joy. And I may not be awake to the fact that that's what I'm doing. A story that I knew something about came to me yesterday, where multiple actors were present. Not everybody, but it was in the story, but many who were in the story were there. And this story, and as I tell it, I want you to pick a character from the beginning. There's four characters. There's many, but there's four to start with here. One of them owns a piece of land and wants to sell it. Another one, so that's like the old landowner, right? Another one has a vision from God about the land and wants to purchase it. So that's the potential new landowner, right? And then there's a couple who come along a couple of years after the person who has the vision, and they are able to become tenants on the land. And they love it, right? And in somewhere in the back of their mind, they like to purchase it. Who are you gonna be? The couple, the old landowner, or the potential new landowner? Potential new landowner?
You.
Who's gonna be the old landowner? Somebody, you gotta identify
right here,
with
right
them. Okay, who's gonna be the couple? Who come along? Who get to be tenants? Okay, great. So think about, reason why I'm asking you to pick someone is so you can identify with their point of view and explore that within you while I tell the story. So the old landowner wants to sell the land, has in her mind, you know, what the price is, doesn't need the money, but is pretty much determined that this is gonna be, it's gonna sell for what I wanted to sell for, I'm not gonna sell it. Way somewhere else, somebody has a vision about this land. They've never seen it in the physical, but God calls them there to show up for this land. This person shows up, finds the exact property, goes like, oh, how wonderful. But fails to get it the first time she tries. And she goes to the landowner and says, oh, I'd love to become a tenant since I am unable to get it. Is that okay? Old landowner says, no, it's not okay. I don't want to rent it. So she walks away, says, okay, let's go. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the tenants show up in town a couple of years later. Land still hasn't sold, and they say, ooh, can we lease this land? What does the landowner say?
No.
Yes.
Says yes. Come right on.
Lease it.
Yeah, rent it. Lease it, live on it, whatever. Right. Take care of it, pay you rent. Come along, says, yeah. She says, yes. Why would she say yes later when she said no the first time? Somebody asked her. Why would you say yes?
It's better to have something than nothing.
Better to have something than nothing, okay? She was in a different mood. She was in a different mindset. She says yes. Okay. A person with a vision hears about it, says, oh well, no biggie. But a few years later, God speaks to her and says, go get the land. She makes a call, finds out there's people living on it, it's still for sale, she's got the money, she makes an offer, she gets it. You the new landowner? Who's the new landowner?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel? How do you feel now? After 3-4 years of waiting, you got it.
How do you feel?
Surprised, happy, joyous, right?
Victory.
Victory. Got it. Okay? Victory. Got it. Huh?
It's supposed to be mine.
Yeah. It's supposed to be mine. Okay? That's in the foundation. It's the belief. Okay? All right. Good. What happens to the tenants? Who are the tenants? Okay. Tenants. How do you feel? Somebody's coming on to the land. What do you feel? First thing. What comes up?
Invaded.
They might rent it to me too. What do you
say? I feel invaded.
Invaded. Invasion of the body snatchers. Here, I'm here. I'm living. I'm comfortable. I found this place. I got it rented to me. I've got whatever I've got on it. Right? Okay. So, invaded. A conversation ensues. The woman in the couple calls up the new landowner and says, we were planning on buying this land. And the new landowner says, what happened? She says, she didn't accept our offer. We didn't, and her, you didn't offer enough. New landowner says, oh yeah, I knew she wouldn't sell it for less than what she wanted. And that's what I offered her. And they say, well, we feel like this is being taken from us. We're not ready to move. And the new landowner goes, well, I was planning on living there. And conversation ends kind of abruptly. Woman and the couple is pretty angry. Next thing that happens is the new landowner buys 20 acres next door. By guidance of the spirit, buys that, and still continues packing to move. Tenants call up again and say, well, we've got a garden over there. We planted a garden 20 acres away next door, and we were thinking about buying that, but you bought that too.
I'll give that to you.
So, new landowner goes, well, I'm buying it because the spirit told me to buy it. So, the tenant says, how about if we keep our garden over there and we keep coming over to garden it and get our harvest and everything. New landowner says, at this stage, no. Why would the new landowner say no? Hmm? Not the old landowner, the new landowner is reacting to somebody who keeps calling her up, angry.
Could be trespassing.
You get what you get.
Who keeps calling her up angry that, what? Here she is, happy she got the land, calls her up angry constantly as if she did something wrong. They tell her, there are a lot of people moving in from California and other places with money and taking up this land. So all of a sudden she's a villain, right? So she says, no, that doesn't sound like that's going to feel good. It's not going to be a good relationship. Next thing you know, here comes the guy in the couple. He decides he's going to try his hand. He says, well, we got horses, we got sheep, we got this, we got that, so we like to leave our animals up here. And all the fencing we put up to keep the sheep doing whatever they're doing. And come up here and move them around, and we just want to leave the animals up here. We're moving, but we want to leave the animals. What does the new landowner say?
Sure.
You're the old man. Yeah, old landowner is so glad she's gone. She was never living there, okay? She was never living there. So, long story short, let's fast forward. Well, let me tell this part. The new landowner says, that's not a good idea. From what I've experienced so far, I think you just need to move on and put your horses and animals somewhere else. 25 years later, they meet up again. The old, the new, and the tenants. And one of the tenants says to the new landowner, do you remember when I met you? You told me, get out of here and never come back. 25 years later, the new landowner goes, no, I don't remember that, saying that. And later recalls the exchanges that all went down. And then he says, but I just want to say you were exactly right. Silence. What would happen if in the foundation of consciousness was, I am wealthy to the point that my cup overflows and I am living abundantly? What might be different in this story where the resentment was held for 25 years or 26 years or whatever? What might be different? Huh?
It might be living communally.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is the foundation of what was in the tenants, they couldn't figure out, they had in their mind that this was where they were going to be. They had in their mind that this was theirs. They had in their mind that whatever it is, whoever came, whatever happened, this would be where they could unfold all their visions, all their dreams. And so when something else happened that changed in the universe, that changed in daily life, their first impulse was to do what? Was to attempt to make everything work under the structure of what they thought was already a fact, a foregone fact. They weren't clear enough to see what was going on around them. When we are in our divine essence, we're not just focused on what it is that we want to have happen. We're focused on what is happening here and now in our consciousness. What is inside and what is the need, what's the set of needs and desires of those around us too. It's not just about, I want this guy to love me like I love him. It's about, where is he coming from? What are his needs? What are his preferences? Not just what I want. Not just what my dream is. Not just what my love is about. But in this unconditional love, when I am a clear vessel, when I am in the ability to move the beam out of my eye, I'm not full of projections about you being the bad guy because you won't give me what I want. I'm focused on what is the divinity within me calling me to do, and unfolding that, and moving as that, and breathing as that. It may mean a different response, like, maybe when I get there, I'll get to know you, and we'll see how we can share in community together. But at this point, my guidance is to do what I'm doing. Maybe that's how the new landowner would have responded, if responding from that foundation and not felt like she was being attacked by people who were sending her. Well, they were attacking her, so it wasn't just a feeling, but she was being attacked and described as an unfavorable person. But it wasn't just her imagination. But the response to that might be different if she's operating from this underlying principle of discerning, acting, being a clear vessel, etc. Because what Jesus goes on to say here about this splinter in the beam, past that, I mean, basically, he's saying that not to do that, not to see what's inside of us, this what we're seeing outside, how that is also inside of us, is when we are being hypocrites. So why do you call me my Lord, or some interpretations say, why do you call me your teacher when you do not do what I say? When you do not do what I say, show me a man or woman who does what I say, and I will show you what their life is like. Their life is like a person who gets ready to build a house and digs deep, 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 deep down to find a foundation. And on this foundation, they build that house. On this rock, they find the rock on which to build that home. And those who don't do as I'm instructing, just build their house on earth. And when the waters come, the house has a great fall. But when you dig down and build that house, build your life, build your daily presence, your daily existence on this rock, then you're doing as I say. And that's the foundation that governs everything. Because all this person could see who was coming to get this land was that the vision is unfolding, I have to keep listening at each step of the way, blah, 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 blah. But was not already in the space and in the place where the manifestation was complete. Now, so whatever it is that you are envisioning, whatever it is that God has called you to, whatever it is that you're unfolding, imagine that there's a clock and maybe you're close. This is 12 o'clock, this is 11 o'clock, and this is 1 o'clock. You've already been around a few times on other visions and other dreams. But on this one, maybe you're at 10 o'clock. But for some reason, you keep going back to 1 o'clock. In the swing of the universe, you keep going back and forth. You can't quite get over that hump. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
You can't quite get over that hump into 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Morning comes. A year or two later, and you say, I've been here before. I did my affirmations, I prayed, I sang, I did this, I did that, and here I am. The walk from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock is very short, with one very, 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 very powerful breath and the combination of the belief that I am in my divine essence, which is my inheritance. And I am living an abundant life. The belief, not the as if, but the true belief that I am there. I can actually jump from 10 to 12, but I have to turn around. I jump to 12 and I turn around. And then I'll see myself coming. In the mind of God, it's already done. The wealthy, abundant, overflowing cup is already done. When we claim it, when we take the leap. When we stand there, we take the breath, the sevenfold breath, and we see ourselves coming. The physical lagging behind the consciousness of the spiritual being that is the divine true essence of who we are. And in that space, we have claimed who we are and that God is supplying from the infinite source and substance and that nothing is impossible. We think we believe that nothing is impossible, but we act as if this thing that can't get us from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, we act as if it is not doable. Whether it's our vision, whether it's our kidneys, whether it's our left leg, whether it's our relationship, we want spirit to come into our marriage, whether it's our bank account, regardless, there are times when we act as if that is not true. So these are the affirmations. It's in the form of a song. Nothing is impossible. It's what we were going to play last Sunday, and we didn't get it up. But we have it now. And you can sing with it because the lyrics are there. The reason singing with it is important, it's not because I'm trying to get you to try out for a gospel choir, which would be good too. It's because when you sing, you pray twice. So we are raising the consciousness within ourselves, and we're praising.
Thank you.
impossible. With you, nothing is impossible. With you, nothing is impossible. For all things are possible with you. It's okay, Lord, nothing. Up to the crown of your head. Deep breath.
to inhale and hold it as it moves all the way through your entire system. Then exhale, opening your lips. For from God the good and your goodly treasure, God's treasure comes from your lips when you speak. And you listen. I listen now with the ears of spirit. I listen beyond the words that are being said. I listen beyond the anger, the hurt, the pain, so that I can hear and see God in you. As I see and hear God in me. And from this place, I pray that you live abundantly. I accept my abundant life and the good fruit it brings in my life and how I share it. How I sustain it, being a good steward for that which is brought through me and to me. Listening all day to the music of the Holy Spirit. And this is my covenant. I say my name and I'm in agreement. But this is my covenant with God to live my highest potential. Inhale. Exhale. Let go of everything that has not been in sync with this thought, this foundation, this rock upon which you build your life. Ashe, amen, alleluia, so it is. Thank you.
Offering. There are two containers. Silver ones for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach program. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive.
And send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper.
They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly, and so it is.
So now, if you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name and hold them quietly in your hands. Beloved Mother, Father God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Let's do the prayer of protection now, on the wall or on the back of your program. The light of God surrounds us.
The love of God controls us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is in all that we know.
Let's form a circle, maybe that way, around those few.
Stand up and get
our peace song. Thank you to everybody who made this Sunday service possible. Our viewer, our Daria, our Christians. Join us downstairs for munchies.
Here we go.
Look at you, Stephen.